weeks off. Oh, that's what it was. I was going to brag on my dad. Man, I watched from California, and I couldn't believe I was watching the same man I grew up in his house. I was like, who is that guy? When he said he was an old Sunday school teacher, that's true. He was my Sunday school teacher. And so you can imagine what that was like. I was the kid that wanted to lean my chair up against the, you know, up against the wall and chew gum and all that stuff. I couldn't do that when he was my Sunday school teacher. But he always did do pretty creative stuff, like stand in a box. I thought that was really funny. Brought back a lot of memories. But you can tell we grew up Pentecost. My dad's got deep Pentecostal roots. And when he talks with that southern accent, his Kentuckian just came right out overboard. And he's real self-conscious about it anyway. But, man, I was like, we should just throw some sawdust on the floor and just have like a tent revival, because that's what you sound like. So, but man, he did so good, and some of your all's kind words to me after that was just really nice. And so thank you all for being supportive of him. And then Ralph, my goodness, killed it last week. I was so proud of Ralph. He just did a great job. They're on break today. They took off and went to Gainesville, and I said, go ahead and enjoy yourself. But man alive, and I just want to brag on y'all for being supportive when I wasn't here. Thank y'all so much. You did great with that. Amen. Give yourself a big round of applause for that. All right. So we're going to talk about love. We're going to continue talking about love. We started a series a long time ago, but I only got two parts into it, about walking in love. Now, I said to you during week one that the real measure of your Christianity is how much you walk in love. It's not about the rest of it. You know, and I read to you, and we'll read it here and again in a second, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul says, I can do a lot of different things, but if I don't have love, it's nothing. I can prophesy over people. I can give all my goods away. I can do a lot of different things, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. I'm a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, and I gave you a nice explanation of what that means. And if you want to catch any of that again and say, well, I don't remember what you said, go back and get the CDs. They're out there, or you can listen to them, any of those. They're on our YouTube channel. They're on our website. You can go back and listen to any of that stuff anytime. Now, those are free, and the CDs of the services are free. All right? But we talked about how this is the true measuring stick of where you are in your Christianity. You really want to be able to show how much of a Christian you are, how much you're growing spiritually, how much God's doing in your life. It really boils down to this: how much are you using and showing the love of God to somebody else? Oh, don't get quiet on me, because now I have to go back and re-preach the whole thing. All right. So we talked about that. We talked about what love is. And we really just talked about how there's different kinds of love. Remember, we mentioned what those were. I'm not going to get into all that again. There's four different words for love in the New Testament. But the one that we really wanted to focus on was the one that God calls us as Christians to be, and that is agape love. And I'm just going to read this one definition to you, and then we'll jump into this. The one that God calls us to is the Greek word agape. And this occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of an object or person, and that value causes the individual to behold the other object or person in such great esteem, such awe, such admiration, and such wonder and sincere appreciation that they are compelled to love it or love them. Compelled. And then I said to you that this is how God loves you. God stands in awe of you. Come on now, listen. Listen, I've been in seminar all week. All right, been around people on fire. And if y'all can amen my dad and Ralph, you can amen me. Amen. Even if you have to fake it, okay? God stands in awe of you. Right. Not because you're so awesome, but because you have a piece of him inside of you, and he loves you. Amen. He loves you so much. He stands in such sincere appreciation and respect for you that he was compelled. He couldn't help himself. He loved you that much. That's what the word agape is, and that's how we're supposed to love other people. One amen. All right. So we're going to talk about it a little further today. Love is the most needed thing in the world right now. Why are we doing things to each other? Why do people treat each other the way they do? Why are people rising up against the other? Why do wars happen? Why is racism real? Why do things have? Why is there hatred in the world? Well, it's because we don't understand what love is. Why is there violence and opposition? How are we supposed to change it? The only way is to start showing true love. And we already have already talked about what love is, but 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7 says this, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." Now another translation says, "Love is of God." Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now listen, as we talked about in week two, there are different versions of love, and the reason that this, you know, that love in general isn't working is because we're trying to love people and fix people with the wrong kind of love. Anybody live through the 60s? That's the wrong kind of love. Just because it's free doesn't mean it's good. Come on, somebody. It's the wrong kind of love. And listen to me, that's not going to fix anything. It's going to make it worse. Why? Because all of the other three kinds of love are selfish and have their own motivation. But agape love has a different motivation. All right, and that's what we're talking about when we read this, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, here's Paul talking about what I was saying a few minutes ago. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but don't love others or didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Can you give something away and it not be motivated by love? Absolutely. According to this, you can. What does that mean? I'm going to give this to you because it makes me feel good. If you're doing that, that's not love. That's selfishness. How can you give something away and it be selfish? Because it made me feel good, and that's the only reason I did it. That doesn't make sense, does it? Yes, it does. Because when you do something to satisfy yourself, doesn't matter what you do, you're the one getting the only benefit from it. We like to call this strings being attached. When Jesus gave his life, he didn't do it with any guarantees that anybody would take him up on it, and yet he did it anyway. Now here's what I'm gonna blow some of your mind right now. He's not sitting there waiting to hit you on the head with a tack hammer if you don't receive him and you do something wrong. That's not the Jesus I've learned about in Sunday school class. Come on, we've all been raised to believe that God's ready to punish us. Jesus, listen, the Bible says nothing you can do will separate you from the love of God. Nothing. There is nothing you can do to separate you from the love of God. Now, here's the thing. People go, what's hell all about? What's that all about? That's not you being separated from the love of God. That's just you being separated from God because you didn't believe. That's not a punishment. We've been raised to understanding that the punishment is coming. It's coming. It's coming. The punishment was already delivered. Jesus already took it. Come on, somebody. The punishment's already been delivered. If you wind up in hell, it's not a punishment. It's because you didn't believe. Somebody needs to catch it. Jesus died for you. Come on, somebody. And if you don't believe in him, then you can't receive what he's done for you. All right? It's not, I'm sitting there, you know, it's not like God standing on the side of banisters of heaven going, boy, if you don't know, I'm going to take my belt off. He already took it off. Come on, somebody. And so he did that with no guarantee anybody would receive it from him, and yet he did it anyway. There were no strings attached. All right? So you can give something without the proper motivation. You can be, you know, what some people would deem to be Christian, and you could do things that some circles, really, that's the indicator. But you could also do those things and not be anything, according to this. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So today I want to talk about how do I show the highest form of love, or the God kind of love. Well, let's turn. Now, a lot of us know John 3:16, but I want you to go to 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. All right? The first thing I would say to you is, how do I show the love of God? Now, next week we'll get into how can I show the love of God, because what I'm going to talk about today, you're going to be, I don't know if I can do that. And if you do, if you walk out of here thinking that you can do that, I hope it's the right way. But really, my purpose of this message today is to challenge you to understand this is not something you can do on your own. It's not. All right? But the first thing I would say to you this morning is, how do I show the love of God? The first thing is this: give with no expectation of a return. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16, we're going to read to verse 18. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also, come on now, this is not just him, this is us. We also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Dang it. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Yeah, evil, stupid, rich people. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Now, let's talk about this for a second, because I already said it to you once, but Jesus loved you so much that he gave everything for you. Everything. He gave everything. He gave up being God. Whoa, wait a minute. What? What? The Bible says he stripped himself of everything that made him God. There's one right now. Then he stepped inside of creation, which means physical laws that govern us that never governed him, he now has to put up with that. You think that's no big deal? How awesome would it be to not have to live with gravity or aging or aches, come on, and pain? Your skin wouldn't wrinkle. Come on. That's what we're talking about in heaven. That's where he was. I mean, he had nothing governing him. And now he's going to step into a world with laws. Now, if you don't think that's any big deal, try and get used to something and then try and break a habit. How easy is it when you're used to doing something a certain way? Come on, and you try and change it. And subconsciously, you find yourself doing what you just said, I'm not going to do anymore. And you weren't even thinking about it. That's a big deal to step into something you've never had to put up with gravity before. I think about it sometimes because after he died and came back, the Bible says he walked through walls and stuff. They just appeared amongst the disciples. That's what he was used to. To us, we're all like, whoa, he's walking through walls. Okay, let's roll it back. He lived his whole life having to use the door. Never had to use doors before. Come on now. I mean, Jesus has given up a lot for us. He gave everything. People go, well, that's no big deal. I'm glad he did it. I'm glad he made himself uncomfortable. I'm glad, listen, if you don't think Jesus ever experienced pain in his physical body, wake up. I mean, besides the beating he took, I mean, he's got skin knees as a kid, I'm sure. Come on. He's walking on rocks that hurt his feet, and you go, no, that's not the Jesus I grew up with. I mean, yeah, I know. I'm hoping I'm kicking over some sacred cows today. He gave all of it up to come here for me and you. He gave everything he had for us. All right? He gave his life, died a horrible death for us, okay? Now, this is the ultimate goal for us. We need to get to that place that if we had to, we would. But what do we do in the meantime? Because I don't know, Pastor Brent, I don't know if I'm ready to give everything I am and everything I have for somebody I barely know. Come on now. I don't know. I was sitting in this conference, this marriage conference, and we had to do these exercises. It was me and Jody and another couple, and I had to look at the other husband, and we had this one exercise where we were imagining that we're on an airplane that's been taken over by terrorists. And just such a happenstance of luck, there is a parachute that you can get out with, but it's just one, and you have to look at this person and give them a reason that's not your wife and not your kids of why you should take the parachute and they should stay behind. And every time I went to answer the question, I felt like such an arrogant, you know, just like, I can't say that. That's... His answer was great. I just was like, here, go ahead. He was like, I've not lived my life right. I'm on a journey. I'm learning. I'm trying to be a better person. I was like, okay, here's the parachute. Every time I started to answer, I just would stop myself. I can't say that. That's arrogance. That's selfishness. And I couldn't do it. But then you had to say, why? Then the roles were reversed. Why should they take the parachute? And that rolled off my tongue I just said, I know where I'm going. I'm at peace with it. I'm not saying you don't know where you're going. I'm not judging you, but I know where I'm going. If this plane goes down right now, I know where I'm going to wake up. And so here, you go ahead. Okay? And I was really kind of shocked that was so easy and the other one was so hard. But here's the point. Our ultimate goal is that we should be trying to get to the place where Jesus is at, that if we had to, come on, lay down our life for somebody else, that we could. That's the ultimate goal. But what are we going to do in the meantime? Because you know what? It's few and far between that we get asked to lay our lives down for somebody else. So what am I going to do in the meantime? Because, you know, I can tell myself all day long I'd lay down my life for somebody else. But you know what? 99% of the time, that is not going to happen. Yeah, right? Amen. I'm glad to live in the United States where that doesn't happen very often. All right? There are places in the world it happens frequently. Okay, but what am I going to do in the meantime? The question we have to ask ourselves is this. Can we start the process of becoming self-sacrificing in other things besides just our physical life? Because it's the steps of becoming self-sacrificing in small things that will allow us, come on now, to get to the bigger things later. All right? Can you give what you have without any without any expectation of a return? Well, no, it depends on what you're talking about. There are some things I could give real easy, and other things that would be real hard. That's the point. Those are the ones that are hard are the ones that we need to work on, because those are areas in our love walk that we're lacking in. Ow. Can you give your time? Well, it depends on what it's for. Can you give your service? Again, depends on what it's for. Can you give of your finances? Maybe. What are you going to do with it? Can you give a listening ear to somebody? I don't know. If they're just going to whine and cry the whole time, I doubt it. Come on now. Can you give yourself without expecting anything in return? I can a little bit. I can up to a certain point. And then after that, all bets are off, man. I just don't. There's what you just located yourself. And here's what, and this is what, I love this part, because people go, well, I'm not God. No, but you are just like him. Come on, somebody. That's what your name means. Come on. I'm a Christian. Old DC talk song right there. I'm a Christian, and you know it's true. All right, so I'm sorry. That means Christ-like. So that means if that's the ultimate goal, then when I find that, come on, that filter that starts bumping up against me, I don't know if I can do that anymore. This is an opportunity to grow. I don't know if I want to grow anymore. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because the moment you stop growing, you might as well not even be here anymore. I'm not telling anybody we don't want you here. We want you here. Okay? But if you're not growing and becoming more like Jesus, well, what's the point? What is the point? The goal is to love so that if somebody else or whoever you're loving never responded to you in the same way, here it comes. Are you ready? That wouldn't offend you. I mean, I was so nice to them. And they just acted like I wasn't even there. Yep. 7 billion people in the world and 6,950,000,000 don't even recognize what Jesus did. It's not like he was laying there on the cross going, I already know the future, and I think I'm going to, no, just, sorry. Be slain in the spirit. I'm getting up off of this. Because you're not going to love me back. Now, let me say this. A lot of people read that scripture and they're ready to jump on rich people. They say, yeah, they live in that big house, drive that fancy car. They see people in need. How dare them? See, the Bible even says them people don't have the love of God in their hearts. And those same people are the same ones that have an opportunity to share love in a certain way at a certain time, and they don't. And they go, well, I can't make as big a difference. No, you might not be able to make as difference as a guy that makes a couple million dollars a year. But can you make a difference where you are right now? Are you doing your best? See, it's not about whether the rich people are doing their part or not. I know there are some rich people that aren't. Don't get me wrong. I mean, people that the greedy and the money owns them, and I get that. I understand that. But you know what? That's no different than the sinner. Come on. It's any sinner that their sin has them. Well, but they live in that big, you know, big ivory tower, and they should be doing more for the humanity. Yeah, they probably should. What are you doing? You doing everything right? Yeah, but I'm not worth $50 million. No, but you're $32,000 or however much you make every year. I don't know. I have no idea what anybody makes. So I'm just throwing out a figure. That's what they hired me at Rhema when I first started. 32,000. That 32,000 you make, are you doing the best and making the most impact with what you have? Unless you are, come on now, don't be jumping on somebody else just because they have more money than you. Here it is. Love is about self-change to better someone else without worrying about someone else's actions returning the love or getting anyone else to love along with you. I'm not worried about rich people, the people that live in the big house. I'm worried about, well, come on now, the love walk is what I'm doing. Come on now, don't get skeptical. There's a lot of talk about it right now and all this kind of stuff. Listen to me, real love is going to be me giving it out. Real love is going to be you giving it out. Real love is not about me going to people who I think can do more. Man, this is a Baptist church again today. My dad called it Pentecostal, but I'm wondering. All right. So I'm going to give with no expectation of return. None. And when I run into the expectation of return, that's the area that I have to start working on. And I need to ask God's help for. All right? So that's the first thing. Give with no expectation of return. The second thing is I need to just start acting out 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So why don't you go ahead and turn over there. And let's just get ready to make this an imprintation on both sides of our face. Because this is what we have to start doing. How do I do it? I give with no expectation of return. And then I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified. And we're going to start in verse number 4. Did you wear your steel-toed shoes this morning? Love endures long and is patient and kind. Well, let's just stop right here. I mean, that's hard enough right there. What do you mean endures long? It puts up with it. But not only does it put up with it. Now listen, that doesn't mean, I'm not talking about you sitting there being abused. That's not what I'm talking about. What is it enduring? People not loving it back. Now here's the part that's going to mess with you. Because not only does it endure people not loving it back, but it's patient and kind while it's enduring it. Now listen, if you're being abused, run, get out, get away, go get help. We'll help you here. It's not about being abused, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being taken advantage of and people taking everything you have and treating you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being loved back. And they're patient and kind while doing it. Why? Because they understand that the person that they're loving that's doing it back to them, come on, they don't know what they're doing. Well, they should know. I mean, they're old enough. Remember what Jesus said hanging on the cross when the guys that just got done beating him and playing dice for his robe? Remember what he said about them? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're not talking about a bunch of little kids here. We're talking about grown men, grown military men. Probably the best that was, you know, Pilate had to offer. The guys that are doing public crucifixions were no slouches. These are good soldiers. And Jesus says, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. What is that? That's the love of God, enduring long and is patient and kind. Love is never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Yeah, but man, that is such a cool car. I want one. Again, there's nothing wrong with wanting nice things. But when it drives you to the point of getting mad at somebody else because they got one and you don't, let's just move on. It's not boastful or vainglorious. You ever know one of those me monsters? You know what I mean by that, right? You can tell a story and they can tell you six stories that's better than your first story. I heard a comedian say one time, he said, I wish that I could be one of the 12 astronauts that have actually been to the moon. Because then whenever I'm at a party and talking to somebody and they're giving you this, oh, I made $6 million last year while I was inside trade, blah, 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 and they're just telling all the great things that they did. And he said he could just stand up and be like, I walked on the moon. Everything, it's just every story after that is just, they're like, oh, I got a new car. It's a convertible, this, blah, 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 blah. Just talking about how awesome their new car. And he goes, I remember one time I was driving in my lunar rover through the Sea of Tranquility. That would be awesome. The other part of that characteristic is does not display itself haughtily. What does that mean? What does all of that mean? That means it doesn't believe lies about itself. You go, you know what? I can't do that. Says who? Says who? You're too good for that? Because that says you're not. I love the fact that one of the mottos at the Disney Corporation is even the president stops and picks up trash. Ain't nobody too good to do anything. Well, I give a lot of money so I don't have to do that anymore. Says who? Come on, I'm wealthy. I don't need to do that. Says who? Well, I've got other plans that I wanted to. Well, yeah, but are you willing to do this in order to get there? Or are you boastful and vainglorious and think you're better than that? Because that's believing a lie about yourself. Okay? Verse 5, it's not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. He's just staying on this subject, isn't he? Come on, Paul, let's move on to something else. It is not rude or unmannerly. I remember one time I was at a church function, not this church function, another church function, and I watched as the people were, you know, lining up to go, you know how we usually at our have a table with food on it and people, you know, go through the line and serve themselves or whatever. And I watched the pastor walk over and just shove people out of the way and just get in the front of the line. And I thought, I understand honor, I get it, but people are already in line. If they want to put you at the front of the line to start with, that's okay, I get it. You know, at Bob's conference all last week, you know, I dismissed tables at luncheons after the main sessions, you know, and I always dismissed Bob's table first. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Bob's my father-in-law, whose conference that we were at in Hawaii, and I was the event MC. So I would dismiss Bob's table all the time, not because, you know, Bob demanded that. In fact, he never even asked me for it. It's about honoring the position. I get that part, okay? I get it, okay? He's doing a lot for a lot of people. But to go over and force yourself in line in front of somebody else because you're in charge, come on now, that's rude. What makes you think you deserve that? And when you think you deserve something and you have to make it your way, that's being rude. It's unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Okay? Love, God's love in us, does not insist, oh, this is going to hurt. Does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Yes, but I'm right. Are you now? Even if you are you insisting somebody else see that? Because you can't make somebody see something. You can't. If you are insisting that it has to be your way, that goes back to selfishness, okay? All right? It doesn't insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. When you just, you know, when you have to go and say, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore because I don't see myself doing that. Great. I don't probably see you doing that either. But is there a need to have that done? Oh, come on, don't get quiet. Please don't get quiet. But this is what I see myself doing. Great. This is what the need is. Do you have it in your heart, come on, to help us fill a need that needs to be done? It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. But I just want to go and rip somebody's head off for talking to me today. Because I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, guess what? When you get up and you feel that way, that's just your love walk talking back to you going, we need work today. Come on, let's go take a lap. We got some fat we got to burn off. But really? It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Now listen, that doesn't mean you don't have resentment. You know what resentment is? A disagreement. Watch this now. I can disagree with you and not fight with you. Come on, somebody. I can have a strong disagreement with you and not hate you. This is what's wrong with our world today. You didn't vote like me, I can't talk to you anymore. Hello. Come on. You voted for Mr. Orange? Get away from me and never speak to me again. Then we have other people that go, you mean you voted for the Ice Queen and you were going, I mean, you're okay with killing babies? Don't speak to me anymore. Come on. Now, I'm not talking about just people in the world. I'm talking about in the church. I don't need to agree with you politically to love you and be okay with you. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to, listen, I can have resentment. That just means a disagreement. But I don't have to resist you and separate myself from you because we don't see the same. In fact, if anything, we can learn from each other and become better people because of our disagreements. Come on, somebody. All right. I know everybody's scared right now, so we'll move on. This is a big one. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Now, before this series is over, I'm going to talk about this particular verse for a long time. I'm going to do a whole thing on forgiveness. But this right here is huge, and I'll capsulize it with this. Forgiveness is not for the person that you're forgiving. It is not approval of what they have done. And if you think it is, you don't understand forgiveness, and you don't want to be here that week. Okay? The reason you don't take account of a suffered wrong or evil done to it is because it's better for you if you don't. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. I don't need to know. But I'm going to pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I don't approve of what they did. I'm not okay with what they did. But I'm asking God, don't lay that charge on them for my account. I forgive them. Move on. We'll talk about that in detail in a week or so. Okay? It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. No matter how you like or dislike somebody else, you are not happy about it when something bad happens to them. Yeah, but man, they had it coming. Let me just tell you a little story. While we were in Hawaii, a friend of ours lost their wife. It was really tragic. It was a pastor, and he's a really nice man. I'm going to just tell you, just transparent here with our family and the people online. She was not. She was an awful person. I know people that worked for him that literally she drove to tears. People left the ministry. I mean, she was not a nice person. Okay? Not at all. And it was so funny while we were all sitting there. and we got the news about what had happened. Not one person at that table said, you know, she was an awful person. She deserved that. Nobody got happy about the fact. And believe me, over the years, we've all shared stories of how we've watched her treat other people. I got them a youth pastor. When I was a youth pastor at Raymer, I got them and turned them on to somebody. They hired them, and they loved him. He was perfect for their church and where they were. And she ran him out of the ministry. And I called him, and I said, hey, I just wanted to see, you know, if you heard about so-and-so. And he said, man, it totally sucks. Nobody was happy about it. You know why? Because they have the love of God in their hearts. See, we don't get happy even when bad things happen to bad people. And we go, ha, you deserve that. That's not the love of God, because I guarantee you God's not rejoicing when bad things happen. Listen, when he had to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, God was not sitting up there going, watch this, here comes a big thunderbolt. Ha, ha, it wasn't like that. When he wiped out the world with the flood, that broke God's heart. He was never happy about it. Even when he poured out judgment on Jesus, he was not happy about doing that. That's what real love is. We don't celebrate when bad things happen, even to bad people. Okay? Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Now, this is huge right here, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Ouch, double ouch, and triple ouch right there. How quick are you ready to believe a rumor about somebody? You hear something about somebody and you go, you know, and this is classic church people right here. Here's what they do. You know, I just always felt in my spirit like something was going on with them. Come on. Just laugh at it. Nobody will know I'm talking to you. All right. You know, I just always felt like something was off. Listen to me. Just because God is laying somebody on your heart to pray for doesn't mean that there's always something wrong with them. That's your filter, putting that on there. You ought to be believing the best about everybody. Even if they are somebody who's a creep and deserves to be having bad things thought about them. You ought to celebrate and just be ready to believe the best about them all the time. If you're in an argument with somebody, and they say something, even if you're not in an argument, if it's in passing, and somebody says something to you that could be taken one of two ways, come on, choose the high road, people. You come to church, you see them, and they just walk past you and go, hey, they hate my guts. They don't like what I'm wearing today. I'm on their bad list. Listen, I'm just going to be honest. I get it all the time. I get it all the time. I say it, those of you who have been at the church for a while know, I suffer from Bluto syndrome. You know, Bluto from Popeye. And people immediately, I mean, I come in with the, and I've talked about this before too, resting jerk face. Ladies, they call it something else. I can't say it in church. But when you're not doing anything, you just look mad. No facial flex at all. And people go, why are you so mad? I'm like, listen, if I was 5'8" and weighed 140 pounds, you wouldn't think I was mad. But because I'm 6'5" and weigh 265, now everybody goes, are you okay, Pastor? I'm fine. What? Why? You just look mad. No. Here it comes. You're not walking in love. There, I said it. Oh, I feel so much better. You should be ready to believe the best about everybody. Amen. Come on, if there's a way you can take it that's not bad, take it that way till they prove to you they meant it the other way. Well, that's gullible, and that's just how you get taken advantage of. No, that's how you show the love of God. All right, let's wrap this up. Here it comes. All right. Let's see, where are we? Seven. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. I don't know how much more of this I can take, Pastor. Okay, good. Now you're ready to start relying on the love of God. Love never fails. I don't know what else to do with this person. I don't know how else to do. I mean, I'm at my wit's end with them. They have driven me batty. They have driven me right over the edge. I've tried everything. Okay, now go heap some coals of fire on their head and just love them anyway. What? I mean, can't you just, like, cast the devil out of them? If the Lord told me to, sure. But what are you going to do if he doesn't tell me to? Can you love him anyway? Well, can't you just, like, give us a word that would just cut right to the heart of the matter? And, you know, if it was that easy, you know, and I could just download the app for that. Hold on a second. Let me get the prophecy app. All right, tell me some information about what's going on. Okay, here you go. Thus saith the Lord. I wish it was that easy. But see, listen to me. This right here is why Paul says all of that stuff is great, but love is the better way. Why? Everybody in this room can love. Everybody can. Not everybody's going to prophesy. The Bible actually says that prophecy works as the Spirit wills. Not everybody's going to give a tongue and interpretation because it's as the Spirit wills. Not everybody is going to function in the gifts of the Spirit because those are as the Spirit wills. But love is open to everybody all the time, and that's why it never fails. So I don't know, Pastor. I don't know if I can do that. You'll want to be here next week. We're going to talk about how you can. You can apply love to the very situation with the very person that's your biggest just thorn in your side. You can apply love to it. And let me tell you what that's doing. It's applying God directly to the situation. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, thank you for our time together today.